BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio
1.
Am I sounding any better today? A little bit?
You sound a little bit better. Yeah.
Excellent. Went home well early last night.
Voice rest.
I didn't speak to anyone, actually. It's true.
You were tweeting, though. And I nearly tweeted you saying you're meant to be on voice rest.
Yeah, but I'm not using my voice, am I?
No, I know, but it's a bit like you've told me off before when I've been ill and tweeted something. You've messaged me going, like, you know what, if you're ill, that's fine, but don't then be on Twitter.
Yeah, I agree. But you shouldn't be on Twitter. No, yeah, I'm not ill, it's just my voice is weird.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is you can be as ill as you like and still be able to tweet.
No, I don't think you should be. I think you should be off social media if you're ill. Because it's basically like, I'm fine to tweet, but not fine enough to come into work. I think you should have radio silence when you're off.
But you're not actually talking on Twitter. You are aware of that.
I agree with you that I'm slightly contradicting what I'm saying, but I'm sticking with it. If you're ill, get off Twitter.
So if I'm ill,
get off Facebook, yeah.
If I'm ill, I'll never tweet, just because I know I'll be told off by you.
It's not. I think that your boss would look at that and go, oh, right, so he's tweeting.
Oh, he's well enough to tweet.
Yeah, that. Does anyone else agree with me, or am I going mad? Please let me know. Anyway, I hope you're right this afternoon. Gorgon City coming up, and Lapsley and Mumford & Sons. The revolving doors of Radio 1 have been revolving today with all the guests. Nick Jonas this morning, a bit late because France was in France. There's a strike on. Always a strike on in France. And then Kit Harington was on as well. And the next one to come through the famous revolving doors, they're not revolving, is Casper Lee at 1:45 on Innuendo Bingo. That's going to be one to watch.
BBC Radio 1.
Daily.
Yeah, my friend got sacked because when she was off sick, she posted a pic on Instagram as a throwback and they thought it was recent.
That's harsh. Also, she should have been able to explain that. Do you know what? That said, what an amazing excuse. So let's say, right, you take the day off sick. Not recommending anyone does this.
No.
But then you go and have, like, a massive party, right? A picture goes up of you there. You just say it was a throwback.
Yeah, it's the new thing. Have you not heard of it? It's throwback Monday.
Yeah.
Also, so many people disagree with me about this thing. I'm saying, if you're ill from work, you shouldn't be on social media. Someone's like, it's just moving your thumbs around. Some companies I know really don't like it at all.
I think what you're kind of comparing it to is, you know when you have to put on phone voice, even though you might actually be ill, you have to ham up the illness just to make you sound really ill. I think what you're saying is, if you're then on Twitter tweeting jokes and all sorts,
yeah,
you don't seem like you're
ill.
You don't seem extremely ill.
Yeah, that's the thing. I agree, Mills. No social media if off sick. It's quite a lot. There's an HR company and also another beauty company that have been on saying they check if someone is ill from work that day. They check, and they really don't like it if they're on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, Snapchat's where you're going to be caught out, I feel.
Mel's says, Scott, you are going mad. I think it's your voice. I've been in hospital hooked up to various machines, but still well enough to tweet. But I know what you mean, but it's different if it's a boss and you're supposed to be going to work that day.
You're physically able to tweet. What you don't like is if you've said to a boss that you're off ill.
It just gives the wrong impression out. Maybe I am actually mad.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Casper Lee, hi.
Hello, how are you doing, Scott?
Really good, how are you?
I'm really, really tired.
Yes.
Tired.
Early morning for you, Casper.
Yeah, my mom woke up at 5 a.m. and was like, Casper, it's time to wake up. I'm like, Mom, it's 5. And she's like, oh, I thought it was 7. So,
see, I knew that you took your mum to see Lorraine Kelly on ITV this morning.
Yeah, and it was so, so good. And they actually look really similar. We took a photo afterwards and people keep tweeting, are they like long lost doppelgangers or sisters?
Oh, did she love a bit of Lorraine?
Oh my gosh. It was my mom's first live TV appearance and she is such a natural. It was so
good.
This needs
so
explaining to anyone who doesn't understand why suddenly your mum's involved.
Yeah, why is Casper's mum suddenly on? Because he's done a book and it's basically your life story, but you and your mum have written it. So she's written it and then you've added comments.
So my mum wrote a book about me, and let's just say a lot of the stuff she wrote is sort of fiction, if I think about it. When she thinks about it, she thinks it's fact. She's a very creative lady. And there's a lot of stuff in there that I had to fix. So I come in last minute after she's written this book about my life, and I make it a bit better, I hope, by annotating things and explaining things in more depth. And there's loads of nice pictures that she's picked that I have to kind of scribble out at some points, because there's some naked stuff too.
Right, but there's some real, like, mum quotes in there.
Yeah.
Looking at it right now, I like this one. All of a sudden, my 17-year-old son was heading off to London on his own to stay with people he had never met, except online. I mean, it sounds like every mum's nightmare, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was all fine.
Especially when it's like you're living in South Africa and your son decides to move to London at 18 with people he's met online.
Yeah, yeah. Never met them before, only on the internet. So, you know, you said that your mum put some stuff and then you had to fix it. Was that because it wasn't true and she'd made it up, or you just don't remember it?
There's stuff in the beginning I don't remember. One of the things I get really worried about is there's this girl she brings up that apparently she says I dated. And I'm worried that this girl's going to read the book and be like, Casper, we never dated. Why are you telling your mum we dated?
Right.
I promise you, I never said we dated. It's my mum's imagination.
But
again.
Your mum wanted that to happen.
Sounds like
that,
it.
Is that yeah. the situation?
Yeah, yeah, she loves that.
It's good to have you back on In Your Da Bingo again. Last time it got a little bit... Well, I'd say the rules were broken. Everyone just started chucking water over each other, not with their mouths, just with the cups.
Yeah, but you're solo today, so I think it's quite nice, just me and you, Casper.
It's more in a kind of level playing field, I think, rather than having Joe here as well.
I've got to ask you, you put a picture up on your Twitter of you, it looks like you're with the Stig.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went around with my best friend, the Stig man, and he didn't high five me, which was disappointing. But
actual Stig.
Well, I mean,
who knows,
but it was pretty, like, when he walked into the room, we were outside, so he walked outside from a room, probably a luxurious camper van or something. Mm. He comes in and everyone's like, shh, and he sits down next to me, and I'm literally trying to talk to him, and he just doesn't respond. It was like I was a ghost.
Oh, yeah. You are wearing white. And
I am. Yeah, I wasn't the one that down.
Good morning. So how did this come about, the Stig meeting?
Yeah, why, what's going on?
Well, you know, Top Gear's coming out soon. Yeah. So they got a few of us to come and do a lap, and I was able to do a lap against, do you know Comedy Shorts gamer, Deji?
Yes.
So, yeah.
So you're going to be on the show?
I think it's just on my YouTube channel.
Still
maybe,
fine.
Guys, please put on the show if it was really good.
Yeah.
Please, thank you.
BBC, how good is that? Listening. He's got to do a lap.
Yeah, because I'm looking at a picture that you put on your Twitter, and if that is what the reasonable price car is now, it's...
No.
They've gone a very different...
They've got a big budget now.
It's like a buggy.
Oh, right, yeah.
No, so what's happened there is I've done the reasonably priced car, and then it was time for the Stig to scare the hell out of me that.
Hey, Casper, does Matt Edmondson appear in your book?
Does he?
He does, yeah.
Yeah,
there's a picture of
Oh, that
Matt
beautiful
Edmondson.
Picture of me. It's like, this is like the part of my life where I go on BBC Radio 1 for the first time.
Oh, okay.
And it's really exciting. So, okay. yeah. Sorry it wasn't
We're
you
We're not in
I
it.
Yeah, exactly.
I really
right,
do
that's fine. Maybe the next one.
I assume there will be another book.
Oh, you know, you never know.
Of course there will. The Scott Mills Daily. Hello to Emma, who's listening in Kefalonia in Greece at the moment on her holidays. She just sent me a picture of her sausage legs by the pool. That went well. Also, Brooke, who's 17, in Warrington, having a little break from revision to watch Casper on Innuendo Bingo. Treat yourself. Get on your phone or your laptop or computer right now. Put the Radio 1 website on. Get it on your screen and you will see this happening live.
It's time to witness the wetness. This is Innuendo Bingo.
We're joined by YouTube's Casper Lee today. And it's going to be a good one. I can just feel it. The summer's nearly here. Casper's rocking some really summery shorts. What are they? Where are they from?
They're it's a pizza pepperoni.
Oh, it is a pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza pants.
So they're keeping me warm.
You didn't wear those on Lorraine, though.
Of course. You don't see underneath the shirt. Oh, Lorraine was terrified.
Oh, right, okay, lads. Let's get loads of water.
Cheers, mate. Cheers. There
we go. Remember, it's going to be cold today. Zoe's been on saying, oh, I can't watch, I'm at school. You can watch later. We'll get it up for you later on iPlayer. It's all good. And YouTube. Okay. First, on Innuendo Bingo with Casper Lee. Let's go to BBC Two. You right there, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
All good, Casper?
Mm-hmm.
It's a show called Grand Tours of Scotland, where Paul Merton, not that one, another one, has a terribly embarrassing incident in front of Christine.
I'm in the capable hands of Christine Burratt, who I hope is going to help me land a whopper. To get me in the mood, we stop for a spot of mackerel fishing, and it's not long before my rod is twitching.
Oh. Oh, Casper. Oh,
Casper, why are you going so close?
Whining like
I hate it when you win at this game, you lose.
It's true.
No one wants that in front of Christine while fishing as well.
And it's not long before my rod is twitching.
Yes.
I love that. What a great accent.
And it's not long. Okay.
Casper's such an intense player.
He is.
He wants you to look
at him. I want
you
right to, there.
He wants you to hold his hand as well. It's a bit less like kind of intense. Okay, here we go. Got your waters there, lads.
This and is warm, like...
Oh, is it warm?
Something else.
Mm. Oh, no, it's not reused, is it? No, it's not. Maybe we've had it warmed for you, Casper.
They should be cold.
Over to BBC One's Bargain Hunt now.
Why not?
I thought Bargain Hunt was about antiques, but Tim Wannacott here has taken it in a whole new direction.
You don't decide right now, you decide later, but for the benefit of the viewers at home, let's find out what the auctioneer thinks about Catherine's little nips.
I want to repeat what she said.
No,
she
don't.
No.
Zoe's 15, and she's doing her GCSEs, and she loves Casper. She's just watching Inuit Bingo on her phone while doing revision for her poetry English exam.
Let's find out what the auctioneer thinks about Catherine's little nips.
Tim Wannacott there from Bargain Hunt. And next, it's Radio 4.
I should have worn shorts.
You really should.
You should have worn your pizza boxes that I sent you.
On Radio 4, Matthew Oates and his friend Richard are supposed to be out butterfly spotting. But I can... What?
Who spots but? No, okay.
People do, sorry.
I don't know why.
Oh, man.
I apologise.
Wow, that was the wettest one so far, and it's not even a clip.
That was just a downward drenching.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
But, like, mate. I can just imagine you to be the type of guy who butterfly spots.
Why?
I don't know. You just seem like that kind of dude.
I don't even know what I should take from that.
Just go with it. Water, please. Mm-hmm. So there's Matthew and Richard, and they're doing a spot of butterfly spotting. Casper, can't cope with it.
Sorry.
Chris, you're so wet just because I keep saying butterfly spotting.
What's wrong with you?
It's just the way you say it, and when I'm looking at you, I just see this guy who spots butterflies for a living.
I don't understand.
There's one there, over there.
For fun.
Let's try and get through this. So they're doing that thing where you look at butterflies.
Don't.
And with a little, like, can you imagine with a net?
Yeah.
And you, oh, like a lovely, beautiful summer's day.
This has gone weird.
Anyway.
Oh. Sorry.
There they are, looking at them.
Put the water in your mouth.
I'm sorry. Sorry, okay. I'm not going to put the water in the mouth.
Chris has never got this wet.
Let's call this up.
We're only on number two.
Okay.
So there they are. But, water.
Right,
yeah.
I'll put the water in. Yeah. You leave off.
So you know what they're doing already, but there was only one thing catching Richard's eye that day.
Only last summer I was with a friend, Richard, who saw and photographed his first ever Purple Emperor. And I actually saw his eyes glaze over. He became hooked. You can never have enough Purple Emperors.
That's right, the lesser spotted Purple Emperor there, which is a butterfly.
This is so silly.
It is a silly game. You only just realised that. I've been doing it about 3 years.
This is so wet.
Do you have to keep those on for the rest of the day?
No.
Surely you've learned to bring...
No, I've got spare pants.
You can never have enough Purple Emperors.
No.
Yes. Water, please. Chris is looking very uncomfortable.
When did you spot your first Purple Emperor?
I don't know.
Long time ago.
I'm not a butterfly watcher.
And now, one of our favourites from Tuesday. It's Chris Packham on Radio 4. A lot of Radio 4 today. Very highbrow. Mm. Now, I don't know much about the great outdoors, but, I've never tried this.
I gasped with joy, and I drew my eyes closer to it to be dazzled. I wiped away the spilled slop of the river, polished the glare, and thrust my fingers into the sparkle jar.
That was full-on assault there from Chris.
Wait,
Getting Casper back slightly there.
Do you know what made me laugh? Play the real beginning part where it sounds like he's looking at a butterfly again.
I gasped with joy and I drew my eyes closer to it to be dazzled.
What's wrong with you?
It's you.
It's not me.
I wiped away the spilled slop of the river, polished the glare, and thrust my fingers into the sparkle jar.
Chris Packham there collecting some pond life, an extract taken from his memoirs, Fingers in the Sparkle Jar. No. Out now. Water, please. And now a classic from Downton Abbey. Lady Mary is evidently very stressed. But it's good to hear that she still has time for things she enjoys.
And as I said, I'm sure this lapse is as much my fault as yours. But I suggest we don't mention it again. Now, if you'll excuse me, it's time to go down.
Oh, wow. Oh.
That was cold.
That was a cold one there. Really cold now.
Oh, my word.
Very wet there, isn't it?
It's, yeah. This is a wet
the pizza pants are wet. The T-shirt is wet.
Yeah. You can see my nipples.
That will live on.
What do you think about that, you butterfly catcher? Water, please.
Oh, mate.
Now we're going over to Bangkok Airport. Classic BBC Three show, this. Now, if I travelled all the way to Thailand... Chris, put the water in. If I travelled all the way to Thailand to get surgery done, I definitely want this guy to be my doctor.
The op will be carried out by one of Thailand's leading cosmetic surgeons, Dr. Titi.
Hi, I'm Dr. Titi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, I'm Dr. Titi.
Hi, I'm Dr. Titi.
Classic. Oh, and finally... Oh, no, there's two more, actually.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
I don't think we have enough water. Okay, we've got to conserve the water.
Yeah, go on, you go for this.
Do you want to recycle?
No.
From the bucket.
From the bucket? Not from the bucket. Water, please. Now, I'll tell you what's good. It's planting day on the Great Chelsea Garden Challenge on BBC Two. And the contestant wants to win so badly, he'll do absolutely anything to impress those scary judges.
The last two times, my finish really wasn't as good as I wanted it, but it's feeling quite good control for the first time on planting day, so it's quite good for me.
You're a eucalyptus.
Thank you.
There you go.
Oh, fantastic. Let me see if they fit in my hole.
It's always worth trying, isn't it? Our contestant planting a eucalyptus tree in the ground there, of course. And one more. Are you okay, Chris? You don't look like you can sit down now.
We're very wet.
Come on, you really are, my word. I've seen Casper. You really are. Okay, finally, it's Tom Kerridge's best ever dishes. Now, I always like to try and make Tom's recipes at home if I can. And I have to say, I agree with him on this comment.
All this needs now is a proper helping of filling.
Don't be shy. Get it all in. There's nothing worse than a stingy, tight-fisted pie.
Damn right. Oh, and that was an extremely, absolutely soaking wet Casper Lee innuendo bingo. Thank you very much for being on today, Casper.
Thank you, Butterfly Man and Scott.
No worries. Butterfly Man. If you couldn't watch it, you will be able to later on Radio 1 YouTube and on BBC iPlayer on Big Telly.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Oh, someone's been on saying, hey, that's my dad, Matthew Oates, the butterfly spotter. Hi, Rosie. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it is your dad, isn't it?
I'm interested to know what he looks like after being told I look like a butterfly spotter. By Casper, he was so excited about that.
Yeah,
as well.
You butterfly man. Butterfly
that.
Man.
That's a good loved impression. It. You Thank do you. Good impressions of all YouTubers.
Yeah. Do I?
Alfie Days?
I can't do it on the line. It's all.
No,
oh, I can't do it.
The line about it was a zombie.
It was zombies.
BBC Radio 1's Big Weekend, Exeter. What you got?
Yeah, so we're just coming to Exeter, yeah, in like one day from now. No big deal. people in Devon are so excited. I'm getting so many messages from people who have passed the site or have passed some Radio 1 trucks.
It's when the signs start going up, you know, and the traffic cones and everything like that. It's happening.
Over 2 days, 75 bands, acts and DJs performing. All of your favourites, like the 1975, Ellie Goulding, Nick Jonas, who you just heard in the Live Lounge, Coldplay, Mumford, Iggy Azalea, Sigma. There's so many people on, so many. Hey, listen, you can create your own big weekend lineup poster featuring all of your must-see acts. If you want to go to the Radio 1 homepage, you can do that. And you can prepare by favouriting artists you love from the lineup, which will ensure that their videos go straight directly to you ahead of the weekend. That's a good idea. So we're going to be there, travelling down tomorrow, I am, and you. And it's going to be a great weekend. I cannot wait for Radio 1's big weekend this year in Exeter. Now, on yesterday's Real or No Real, we revealed to you that Matt Edmondson is not a distant relative of the Earl of Devon, but, does look like it, but is going to be officially raising a Radio 1 flag at Powderham Castle at the weekend. And Chris wasn't that happy about it, to be fair.
I just think it's very Matt Edmondson. And also, a little bit annoyed that we weren't asked to do it. But then saying that, if you are going to pick anyone to put the flag up on a castle and represent Radio 1, he is the nearest thing we've got. He does look a bit early.
Yeah.
And I kind of see why they've done it, because he's good with dignitaries.
Yeah.
And he's a bit of a sort of brown noser on that front. Oh. You know, you can just imagine what he's going to be.
If you
be
could,
like, it's going to be, again, it's going to make me cringe.
If
probably.
You could pick one DJ here that would be first to be picked to fly any kind of flag, it would be Edmondson.
Oh, it'll be his hand. Do you know what? They probably asked in the office. Hand went straight up.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
I've been part of a lot of Radio 1 Big Weekends. There's never been a flag before. Why is this happening?
No. So, and that's
is
the
it
other thing.
A castle?
It's, yeah, because of the castle being there. And you just know Emerson's such a flag packer. You just know that he will be there with an opening ceremony, all the dignitaries around, polite clapping. He'll probably do a speech.
I understand why you're a little bit annoyed that it's not you, though, because you are extremely patriotic, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'd love to go there and capture the flag off Edmondson. What are you doing?
Go on then.
I just think it's polite to stand for the national anthem.
Chris will always stand if he hears the national anthem, which I think is actually an honourable thing to do. Not that many people would do it now.
I don't really want to be talking over it, so can you...
Sorry. Okay, so...
But what I'm saying is, if there is a way we can capture the flag from the castle, I don't know how logistically this would work, or just disrupt the ceremony somehow, I would be very keen.
How are we going to do that?
Oh, whether I can somehow maybe put up a different flag or something. Like, just something.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe order in bad weather for the ceremony. I don't know.
To ruin his flag fun.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, again. Sound. Do you know, I really admire you that you do that.
BBC Radio 1's Big Weekend, Exeter.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I noticed that you are in talks with Matt Edmondson on the Twitters about his flag.
Yeah, it's. Do you know what? I feel like with Matt now, all we ever do is tweet him sort of... It's not abuse, is it? It's kind of like...
It's banned.
It's bants, if you want to use that word. He tweeted me saying,
Hands off my flag.
Hands off my flag, Chris Stark. I'm the only one packing flag at Radio 1's big weekend. Oh. I bet you are.
And now Radio 1 have got involved, like, as the mediator going, guys, let's not just fall out over a flag, yeah? Also, I saw you begging for votes on Twitter just now for bangers today.
No, I just put on Twitter, if you happen to get through to Radio 1 for bangers today, I've
choose
gone,
mine.
I've gone big today.
All right, then.
This is Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
Hello, Ed.
Hello there.
Where are you right now?
I'm in a field in Cambridgeshire.
And what are you doing right now?
I'm spraying, and yes, that is one.
That is one, isn't it?
So you're a farmer?
I am a farmer.
What are you spraying, please, as a matter of interest?
I am spraying wheat.
And no chaff, just the wheat.
Just the wheat.
Okay,
all
so
of the wheat.
All of the
and
wheat.
None of the chaff.
So, how old are you, please?
I'm 24.
Okay, and do you listen to this every day?
Every day in the tractor.
You're probably on your own for quite a bit of the time, so Radio 1's just like there, keeping you company. And whose bangers do you normally go for?
It's normally Chris, to be honest.
We can write this. Every single caller. It's normally Chris, to be honest. And then, no, I'm jinxing myself here, because I was going to say what normally happens is they go, I normally go for Chris and then choose mine.
Yeah.
But we just got to see what's going to happen today.
That's often how people think. People, do you know what? It's not just songs, is it? It's I can see how this can apply to a lot of areas of life.
To
that
life.
Kind of attitude.
Yeah. Okay, here's my one. Oh, yes, Neo.
I've offered this one up before, you know.
Have you? So.
Yeah, it's a tune, this one, though.
Brings back memories of when it came out and I first played it on Radio 1, and for some reason we changed the words to let me wash you until you learn to wash yourself.
Mate, what a great song. And I remember when Neo came in, taught me to dance as well. So
yes.
Good, man.
Very good. Okay. Summer vibes. But
Ed, you could have this. I wasn't lying when I said I'm going in hard. This is Pendulum, Propane Nightmares. I say we really go for it, man.
Come on.
But Ed, the choice is yours, you know.
Wow, there's some choices there to be made.
Good today,
aren't they? On one hand, you know, Scots, so you've got a good sing-along sort of banger just floating around down the field, not really caring. Mm. Or you've got Chris's, you know, it's Friday already, let's go.
Yeah, and you'll be spraying wheat a lot faster. So it's up to
you. You sound like you're trying to big up Chris's song there.
No, I'm just saying, what are you going to choose?
I agree with that. Imagine how much you'll get done to that song.
I mean,
imagine how relaxed you'll feel while in that field spraying the wheat, listening to Neo.
Neo's a who, by the way.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello.
Hello.
Yes?
Come on, Em.
We're waiting.
I think I made my decision.
Yes?
I'm going to have to go with a favourite. Chris.
Oh, yeah.
How predictable.
All right, let's have it.
I put my hands up in the air sometimes, singing "ew," and admit that that was the better choice, and it was.
Mate, that was better than I remember.
That sounded absolutely epic.
That might be the best banger I've chosen so far.
Absolutely massive, says Dom in Plymouth. I mean, there's nothing but love, mate. Tom from Norfolk, Chris, you legend. Absolute banger. Mark in Kettering, may have just blown the speakers in the car. No, it doesn't actually happen, does it? But thank you, Alex. Gary on the Isle of Wight. Yes, Pendulum. Propane Nightmares. Absolute banger.
So you know what? That makes it 2-2.
I know.
Tense.
Very tense. And only one of us can be victorious tomorrow. Now, just to switch things up a bit in your head, tomorrow's bangers is going to be in the morning because we're doing the Radio 1 Breakfast Show.
Yep.
Don't ask questions. It's just the way it is, all right?
So
6:30 till 10 tomorrow, we're on the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. Bangers will be around 9 if you want to see who wins this week. Will in York says, that's kind of weird because the vocal on Pendulum sounds like what Chris would sing like. Yeah. So they think it sounds like you singing the vocals on Pendulum.
I wish it was.
I think everyone has very short memories here. Obviously, you've never heard Chris try and sing before. Like that time, which is one of my favourites, when he tried to imitate Bastille. Oh.
Yo, listen up, here's a story about a little guy that lives in a blue world. And all day and all night and everything he sees is just blue, like him.
Inside, still one of my favourite things that you've done.
Blue is his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette. And everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, because he ain't got nobody to listen.
Wait for the drop.
So Bastille.
At the time, that's exactly what they were doing with their music.
Scott Mills.
One. You know when you were away a while ago and Matt Edmondson was in?
Yeah.
We met some new people.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, like, I don't want to say that when you go away, suddenly new friends come on the scene and stuff like that.
Right.
But met this one dude, managed to get him on the show because of something that we'd seen online. And since then, we've decided to stay in touch, and I'd love you to meet him.
Okay. So this is a bit weird. So you meet new people when I'm away?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But I think what's nice about this is it'd be nice to kind of bring you in
on
that and, introduce you. So basically, a while ago, a couple of lads put up an advert on one of those spare room websites.
Yeah.
You know the ones. Mm. Except their advert was really different. They were advertising their £8 million penthouse in London, and they were looking for a roommate.
Right.
But the brilliant thing about this was they were willing to let them live there for free.
Okay, well, what's the catch?
No, well, this is the thing. There doesn't seem to be a catch.
Also, how have they got an £8 million London penthouse?
Oh, they've just done very well. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
A couple of businesses, that kind of thing. At first, I didn't believe it either, Scott.
So these two lads want someone to move into the house, but you don't have to pay?
Yeah. You don't
at
have
all?
To, you don't have to pay. There was no bills. They just want to find the right kind of roommate. How mad is that?
This is too good to be true.
Well, I thought that as well. But loads of people applied for this spare room. And weirdly, it does seem to check out. And we managed to get hold of the guys involved. And we spoke to them on the radio show.
Right. While I was off, yeah.
Whilst you... Yeah.
So, no rent, no bills.
No rent, no bills.
What about cooking and cleaning and that?
No, well, from when we spoke to them last, they have their own chef. So, all the cooking's done as well.
Oh, right. So, the staff...
Right, anyway.
This is insane.
I've stayed in touch with this guy, Kai, just because I'm fascinated in the situation. But also,
are you looking for a room?
I'm so tempted.
Yeah.
But also, Kai did kind of offer that we could help decide who lives with them.
Oh, wow.
Because they are looking at doing auditions.
Yes, we need to be totally across this.
It just sounds amazing. What an opportunity to live in what looks like the most absurd kind of property. An £8 million penthouse, and you don't have to pay a penny. So what I want to do, Scott, is I want to introduce you to Kai right now. He's on the phone.
Oh, hello, Kai.
Hey, guys.
You all right?
Yeah, very well, thanks. How are you?
Are you just knocking around in that big flat? It's quite echoey.
I am, actually, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Is that all right?
Sounds good.
So where are we up to with everything, Kai? Have you found a housemate yet?
No, not yet. We've actually only just kind of pretty much finished going through all the applications. We had well over 10,000, and we've actually hired someone in the end to go through them all.
Of course, you did.
Yeah, 10,000 applications.
I think it's quite a bit more than that. That was the last time I checked, but okay. Yeah, quite a lot. Seemed quite popular.
So, who have you brought in now to go through the applications?
Just someone we know who's kind of done this kind of thing before. Well, not exactly this kind of thing, but it's used to go through applications.
I don't know what you need on your CV for that kind of job, Scott. And do they come in and just say, look, pay me £100,000 and I'll go through it all and find you a housemate?
No, it's kind of more of a bit of like a PA role. But,
right.
It helps out quite a bit because neither Andrew or I have any time to kind of go through that many applications.
So what are your jobs?
We've got a company called Bark.com, and it's basically a way to find local professionals online.
Yeah.
And that's been going for about a year and a half now. It's kind of blown up, and it's doing so well at the moment, and it kind of helps us live this way, which is nice.
So your business has managed to get you an £8 million London penthouse?
Well, actually, before Andrew started this business, he'd sold a couple of companies before that, and this was kind of, I think it was actually a spare apartment, but it's right next to the offices, so we've kind of moved in here and
yeah, it's just
a spare £8 million apartment.
Just a convenience thing, really, isn't it?
Your life is hilarious.
But you lads are brilliant because you're looking for a housemate, but they're not going to pay a penny towards these. You're just looking for the right character.
Yeah, exactly. We thought we'd kind of take the money part of it kind of out of the equation so you can concentrate on just, you know, finding some cool and interesting people to kind of, you know, hang out with.
What kind of person are you looking for? What's the criteria here?
So we're looking for someone who's, well, good company, interesting, easygoing, likes to party, and kind of, just is up for moving in. I mean, we might actually get a couple of people because we've had so many. We've actually had some really, really cool people apply, which is good.
Well, how many bedrooms are there?
There's five bedrooms here, so we've got three spare rooms, but we probably want to keep one of them free, so probably two people we'll look for.
Okay. Kai, I'm finding this whole thing absolutely fascinating. I'm fully on board.
Great.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
Just speaking to Kai. At the moment, him and his friend, who have done very well in the tech industry, are renting out a room in an £8 million London penthouse flat for free. You don't have to pay any bills or any rent. You just have to be quite lol.
You just have to be the right person. We're still not 100% sure what the right person actually is. But you know what, Kai? Some of my mates have been on very interested.
No, they're not the right people.
If they're hanging out with Chris, I'm sure they're not.
I just think that there's real potential for things to go wrong there.
Yeah, I'd kind of agree.
So you've had 10,000 applications from when you put it on one of those spare room websites for a pound?
Yeah, well, over that.
Is there anyone that's really sticking out for you at the moment?
No, not particularly. I mean, we've only just kind of narrowed it down to... I mean, even after going through them all, we've narrowed it down to a good 1,000 or two. And then we're kind of going from filtering from there kind of thing.
I think we need to get to the audition process as quickly as possible. Kai, I don't even think you should be involved until we get it down to the final 10. We can help whittle down that 1,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, we really can step in and help here, Kai.
I'd love you guys to help.
Would you really?
I would. I mentioned last time, our vision is at the end to kind of have the final 10 or 20, and it'll be like an initiation process with... kind of like a bit of a judging panel or something. I think it'd be good. And then choose from there.
That sounds absolutely perfect and something that we'd be very much interested in to do.
Yeah, 100%. It'd be good fun.
I mean, we can bring like maybe some kind of plywood table or something and make it like real, like reality TV if you want. Actually, no, we're not bringing one. You can pay for it.
Actually,
all right, that's fine.
I'll tell you what we'll do, Kai, because you might be able to sort this, is we'll do it like Dragon's Den. So we can sit there with the big chairs, right?
And loads of money next to us.
Pile of cash.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah,
I
wicked.
Okay, when do you want to start the audition process? Because I am super keen.
Well, as soon as possible, really. But we need to choose in that last bunch of people or going from there. It's still going to take a bit of time.
Yeah.
Because we do need to make sure we find the right person because we don't want to choose someone and fall out with them.
And also, you don't want to have 10,000 plus applications and get that one wrong, do you?
No.
The thing is, you are keeping it very broad, and that's awesome. But I kind of do want to know what you really
are looking for.
You really are looking for, because I've got a feeling you must be whittling them down somehow.
Yeah, well, we are. I mean, at the moment, the way we've whittled them down is purely on the applications they've sent in. Quite a few of them have been just kind of like saying, "Are you guys for real?" Question mark, and then they say, "If you are, I'm interested." I mean, you know, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
Whereas the people who really make a bit of an effort, explain who they are, some stories, or even just the liners, or, you know, that's make a bit more of an effort. And it's been whittled down like that, really, not particularly a set criteria.
Well, look, there's no doubt going to be loads and loads of interest in this.
Even more.
Are you pleased that I've brought you in on this, Scott?
I mean, this is just fantastic. I can't believe I missed it. Thank you very much
amazing
for bringing me in, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So, Kai, what's for dinner tonight? I know last time we briefly heard your chef in the background.
What's for dinner? Hang on. I'll go ask him again.
While he's doing that, can I just say, for a multimillionaire, you think you'd have a better phone signal?
Oh, yeah. It's doing my head in a bit.
He's in the West Wing.
Corridor, it's quite a way.
Yeah, must be quite a way.
I understand, mate. Take your time.
Yeah. He's got a sprint on. He's still not getting there.
Yeah. What's for dinner? Chicken pie.
Oh, chicken pie.
Everyone likes the chicken pie.
That's the food of millionaires.
I thought he was Michelin starred.
His chicken pie is insane.
Oh, nice. Oh, I bet it's the best.
Yeah, it's the best.
And is he rustling up a bit of lunch for you as well?
Yeah, it is, actually. I don't know what it is.
Well, ask him.
Down the corridor. Do I have to walk back up now?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, mate, do you know what? I'm a little suspicious of your chef. You do say he's got all the awards and stuff like that, but I swear last time it was steak and today it's chicken pie.
You can't argue with the British classics.
No, he's not very good at selling them. What's for lunch? He's not very good at selling. Chicken salad, he says.
Oh, there's obviously a lot of chicken in the house. Oh.
Well, it's lean meat, isn't it?
Do you know That's what? Right. Send us over his CV as well and we'll go through that. I'm not 100% convinced.
All right, I will.
Right, listen, I'm keen to get this audition process started ASAP.
So am I.
All right, Kai, we'll be in touch. We'll speak to you soon and let's get those auditions rolling.
Yeah, it does sound good. I'll speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon. Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So much reaction to these boys who've got an £8 million house that they want you to move into.
Everyone wants us to put in a good word for them, which we will do, of course. We'll look after you guys.
Yeah, it says, self-appointed friend of the show, James here from Milton Keynes. I think you need to sort me out with this penthouse, lads. ASAP. Mm. Claudia and Harriet have been on.
Yes.
They say, my friend and I are definitely perfect for this room. Lols and cooking included.
This guy's getting all the love interest, isn't it? Look at this. Is Kai gay? Does he want a boyfriend? It doesn't matter if he's ugly. That's from George, sir.
Thanks, George. Very shallow. Craig and Kent is a DJ. They can have their own resident DJ for the parties. People are so keen.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, Dev.
Hi.
So you're doing Greg's show today from 4 o'clock.
That's right. Today and tomorrow just before. Big weekend, baby.
Okay. So is Greg... what's Greg doing then? Where's he at?
Don't know.
Right. Okay.
I never ask. When they ask me to cover him, I don't go, where's Greg going to be?
Hang on. I think I saw on his Instagram that he's already on the way to Exeter.
Someone's keen.
Very keen. He likes to get there early, Greg, yeah. And put his picnic rug down.
Yeah, put a towel down.
That's one. So you good?
I'm really good. I just had to do a talk to some kids. Well, there were some adults in there as well who are interested in careers in radio.
Oh, yeah.
Which I always feel a little bit weird about doing, because whenever I have to explain my job, I'm worried that someone in the room's going to go, he has no idea what he's talking about. He's blagged it this far.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I always think that I am blagging it in talks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
I think everyone's got a bit of that. Like, whatever, it doesn't matter whatever your job you're doing. You're blag that. Well, yeah. Next.
You don't pretend like you know what you're doing, though.
Well, you do know what you're doing.
Yeah, no, it's pretending to be an expert at what you're doing. Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah. I hear you. So what's on today from 4?
Today from 4, we'll be raging against the answer machine with the lovely Phil Taggart, and we're doing movies with Ali Plumdog Millionaire.
Yes, okay, that's coming up from 4. And now here's today's Real or No Real.
It would cost approximately £3 million to buy an advert posted on Chris Martin's body.
I often think this about pop stars, like how much if, let's say... like your company was advertised on Taylor Swift's legs.
Yeah.
How much in real money would that actually cost you?
She's
walking around, she's a walking advert for your company.
Well, yeah, you'd have to insist on no jeans, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, you would.
There'd be a no jeans rule.
I never understand how any of this works. Wasn't there that thing a few years ago, like J-Lo had insured her bum for $1 million?
Oh, no, but that's different. That's insurance.
Michael Flatley's legs are insured for $1 million. How does that work?
That's different game. Scott's got his tongue insured, but... This is about advertising.
Whoa, hang on a second. What? Really? Your tongue is insured?
Yeah. He's got to protect that voice. That's his money there.
How much is it insured for?
I don't want to talk about it.
If I write down a figure, right, will you tell me if I'm close?
Just feel dirty discussing money with you, Def.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not do that.
It's not for me.
Oh, yeah, £3 million, though, on Chris Martin's body.
Someone's worked out how much he's worth and then how much it'd be worth to advertise on him.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Did he do that a few years ago when he wrote something on the side of his face?
Yeah, but that was more of a statement, not advertising.
Oh, right.
Okay. I think it really depends what you're advertising. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'd happily advertise anything on my body for quite a small amount of money.
Yeah, but then you're not Chris Martin.
I say that, but then I suddenly think, actually, I wouldn't really like certain things advertised on my legs or, you know what I mean? We can all imagine.
I mean, you'd have to be careful with the brand, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you've got to be careful about what you are literally endorsing on your body.
I think Chris Martin would be very particular about what he advertised as well. So say, for example, I couldn't see him advertising like Greg's, the baker's, for example. No. Other bakers are available. But,
or crisps.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though.
Gluten-free rice cakes, guys.
Most pop stars will do anything for money. Do you know what I mean?
He doesn't need to.
Most pop stars will do anything for money. It will be a lot of money, but they will do anything for money. It's that kind of... I think it kind of comes with the territory a bit.
So you're saying real?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to go real.
Why Chris Martin? He wouldn't advertise anything. This one's no real.
That one is real.
What?
Now, we're not saying it's happening.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's how much it would cost. So this is one of those Ready One documentaries. And there was one on the other day and I did hear some of it. Don't quite understand it. But it's an interesting new way of looking at things. It's called Music by Numbers Coldplay. It's not been on yet, but it's advertising executives estimating how much it would cost to advertise on someone's body. So approximately £3 million to advertise on Chris Martin's hand during a Coldplay gig, if it was available, which it's not.
Oh.
And next.
Kate Middleton's pet name for Prince William is Big Daddy Duke.
All right, so look, everyone has... When you're in that relationship kind of stage, you're going to have pet names, aren't you?
Dev's gone.
Dev, you can't call the future king
Big Daddy Duke. No, Dev, but it's for them. It's not for us. We're not calling him that.
Dev, you've had
just for Kate.
A couple of girlfriends, right? What's been the best pet name of you?
Oh, this could be good.
Scumbag.
I'm writing this down for a future talking point.
It's a good one, that. Yeah. What's been your pet name?
One that comes to mind, Bubba.
Bubba.
Do you have Bubba, did you?
Yeah, I didn't really understand that one.
And you were Bubba, or was the other person Bubba?
No, I was Bubba.
Okay, Bubba.
I've never gone for pet names. I hate Babe, for example, which is why I say it all the time on my show.
That's standard. I had I was Baby Cakes at aged 17 or 18.
Baby Cakes?
Yeah, I was, honestly.
Is that because of the song?
Probably. She was...
She's a lovely girl.
Yeah, I shouldn't say too much.
They always do make me vom a little bit when you hear a couple refer to each other as their pet names. It's always a bit... Wah!
Yeah.
Leave it to the bedroom.
I don't know about you, but I certainly didn't need to know on a Thursday afternoon that Prince William might be called Big Daddy Duke.
What have you been called?
I'm not saying.
Oh, no, come on!
I don't really go for them.
Is that all we guess?
Go on, then.
No, I'd rather you said.
I'd rather you guessed.
Scotty Cakes?
Stalemate.
No, because then it's weird, because then it's almost as if you are the person given the pet names.
Yeah.
It's like I look at you and go, come here, you big bear. Do you know what I mean? It sort of like makes out that I'm...
I've had Papa Bear before.
Papa Bear.
I swear. I'm writing all of these down.
I swear. Papa Bear.
Papa Bear.
Yeah.
So what, she'd be like texting you going... She'd be texting you like, what, dinner tonight, Papa Bear?
Yeah, I'll show you. I'll show you some text.
Oh, it's quite recent then.
Yeah.
Yes!
Oh, this is great.
He's a recent Papa Bear.
We should revisit this at some point.
We need to get some more jingles made. Big Daddy Duke is the pet name from Kate Middleton to Prince William, real or no real?
I want this to be real so much, so real.
I just can't see it, no real.
That one is no real.
Oh, lame.
Not really, but... The Duchess of Cambridge was overheard at the Chelsea Flower Show calling William by his actual pet name, which is the quite boring Babe.
Oh, that's not a pet name. That's
and
just
next.
A restaurant is challenging diners to eat 5 days' worth of food in 45 minutes for a reward of £500.
I hate stuff like this.
What? Eating competitions?
Just, what's the point? Do you remember that show Man vs. Food?
Yeah, I used to love it.
There was one time I watched them do a challenge and it was to eat, I don't know, something stupid like a bucket of prawns and then a tray of chips. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why? A tray of chips.
So you're not for the eating challenges?
No, it's just... Can you imagine if you were from a country but you don't have much food and you see a program
I agree with that.
Like
that is
shoveling food.
I agree with that.
How quickly can you eat the tray of chips?
It is disgusting.
It's horrible.
That said, this is for 500 quid. It is a lot of money, isn't it?
5 days' worth of food, though. Is that all three meals in 5 days?
It's a lot of food, but you know what? People can pack away this stuff. My mate Chango once did 23 slices at a Pizza Hut buffet. Do you know what that is? That's, I think, 2.5 large pizzas. Which actually, when you're hungry, seems achievable. But no, when you actually sit down and try that, that is ridiculous.
That's like 20,000-30,000 calories right there.
Yeah. I could, like, you know that biscuit spread that you can get? I don't want to say the name of it. It's so delicious. Like, it's like a biscuit spread.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, you know the one I mean, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I polished off a whole loaf using that and the spreads together.
Yeah, but you're talking to the man that can demolish a wheelo cheese in one sitting.
Oh, Scott eats more cheese than I've seen. Do you know what? Greg eats a lot of cheese, but I'll tell you what, if Scott is in the right kind of mood,
it's going to get
out. Cheese that man puts away is something special.
Yeah. But I only do it at special occasions, like Christmas. I don't eat cheese all year round because otherwise, yes, you're right, I would be suffering from the gout, which is an unpleasant thing, from drinking too much red wine and eating too much cheese.
Henry VIII.
Henry VIII had it most famously. These these eating competitions are very popular in America.
I was going to say, is this restaurant in the States?
No.
Okay.
Real or no real?
See, in that case, I don't think this one's real then.
I'm going to go real.
That one is real. Yeah.
Disgustingly, that is true. Huckleberry's restaurant in Darlington, yes, Monte Darlo, is offering a £500 reward for any diner that can finish a 10,000-calorie chicken dinner in 45 minutes. The dinner includes, you ready? 8 chicken breasts, blah, 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 blah. Bacon waffles, blah, 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 and mounds of chips, blah, blah, blah.
Mounds of chips.
Mounds of chips. And that's the equivalent of eating 40 McDonald's hamburgers.
Bacon waffles.
At the end, there's probably syrup on there as well. Mm. End of that round of real or no real.
I've done disgustingly well at this game, actually, today. I've got 30. Dev, you got nothing?
Yeah! Oh, no.
Actually, nothing. Now, I heard you guys earlier, and you were planning your little trip to Big Weekend together.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm going a bit earlier than you, so what's going on?
I'll tell you, you've made a rookie error, because there's a train that's leaving with quite a few of us.
There's loads of us on there, right? Yeah, it's like great. Half... The Radio 1 lineup is going to be on the same train.
Well, that's going to go wrong, isn't it?
Nah, it'll be fine. Where do you reckon we should all meet up,
I'll
Chris?
I'll meet you at the buffet car.
Same every single year. Every year. BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1.